Ice House Radio presents The Unexpected Theory, Northern California. The Unexpected Theory is an audio service brought to you by Icon Committee Entertainment, some rights reserved under Creative Commons license.
Welcome to season two of The Unexpected Theory with your girl in Blaze, my gods and goddesses. Today we are taking what I would like to call a black detour, and we're just going to touch on a little bit of the black dynamic. And we're talking about the black dynamic between our black men and our black women. But today is not just going to be me. Today we have my blood, my cousin, Mr. B. Bell from the No Bullshit Podcast. Give it up for my boy.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. No BS Podcast, episode 28. We are here. We're here to talk business. We're here to talk black people. We're here to talk positive energy. We're here to just talk and be able to build. Absolutely. No BS Podcast. Make sure you follow us. No underscore BS7 on Instagram. No underscore BS7 on Twitter.
That's right. So now that we've gotten that established, let's go ahead and get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Blaze, bring the heat.
Make the next nobody, I'm the first in place.
Mix it non-stop.
Non-stop.
Tearing up the joint, live.
Yeah. So to kick it off real quick, just a little something simple. I did want to give him a little history, a little bit of a tidbit, B. Bell. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. So now that we're on the subjects of talking about black culture and the black dynamic between the black families, we absolutely have to know and understand why that may be. For centuries, black families have shouldered the ramifications of discrimination and structural racism at that. Unfortunately for me, I feel like black history has been like a cheap consolation prize for all that black families are enduring, including the suspended grief, you know, like that same grief that we can't actually process because we're still processing those actual amounts of death, the immense amounts of death we're still processing. So my question was, do you think black men and women's place in society today affects their relationships in building the black dynamic?
I think so. As the, you know, black family, as a black man, we go out in society to try to provide for our family. That's, you know, been the history of how, you know, things are done as far as providing income for the black family. But nowadays, women and men, the mother and father can go out in society and be successful, and come home to be a unit to provide for the children. I think it could be an ego situation as far as men being used to. It depends how old your husband is, because younger people don't really see it like that, but older men really that take home the bacon type mentality,
right?
To be able to go out there and make money and come back, and the mother just, you know, take care of the kids, possibly cleans the home, just take care of home as a whole. That method still is, you know, ingrained in older black men or people of color.
Facts.
But nowadays, the both the husband and the wife, no matter if it's the wife and the wife or the husband or the husband, people of color, they go out, make the money, come back, and be able to take care of the household, is a new dynamic. And sometimes ego can get in the way, but it's important that both are able to go out and be able to make money or be able to provide
money.
Right, to be the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. You have some women that are like, let's say some women from the South that are still, not all, but that are still feel like, okay, maybe I'll stay home, take care of the kids, whatever might have you.
Right.
But that's, you know, there's no issue with that. But I think now everybody, you know, per se, needs to go out there and to make it happen. It can be strainful on the kids because, you know, the mother and the father are out getting the money and they're home left with the nanny or the babysitter or sometimes left by themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that can throw, a negative wrinkle in the family concept because the kids need to be with the father or the mother to establish relationships so they can grow in a way that's reflective to, you know, to them, you know? So indeed. I think that society has definitely or will definitely play a role on, you know, the Black family going right. forward.
And, you know, and I definitely agree with everything that you had just said. I've just start to become a lot more conscious when it comes down to the Black dynamics between the Black woman and the Black man. You know, my parents, I don't even know their dynamic, you know, mm-hmm. between mom's passing really early when I was like, I want to say 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8. I don't really remember. It's been so long. And Pops wasn't ever really around. You know, I didn't know him. And I was adopted into the environment where I was well taken care of, still by immediate family, my mom's brother, my Uncle Joe, and his wife, Linda, my mom, my auntie. And, you know, that was where I was immersed into the conditional relative dynamic of what it looks like relationship-wise between a Black woman and a Black man. Now, not to get too personal or anything, but I didn't have the best of experience with what it was supposed to look like between a Black mother, like a Black woman and a Black man, not a Black mother and a Black father, because those two are entirely two different things. However, when it comes down to like the sacred space of marriage, I don't know what a healthy motto of that looks like. And so when I think about Black families and how we've always occupied a dangerous social position all the way back to the antebellum period when Black men and Black women couldn't legally get married or Black children were not permitted the luxury to be Black children and Black mothers and Black fathers never knew when they could be shipped to a different plantation. The ripping and the push and pull and the complete disassociation of the Black man from the Black home plays a really, really big part in the demise of the Black family for me. So fast forwarding to today with the rapid rates of mass incarceration, ripping Black men and increasingly Black women away from their children. And then here also today with COVID-19 killing Black people at a disproportionately higher rate, the Black family still remains under attack. Mm-hmm. So as a Black woman and you as a Black man, what do you think we could do? Starting with our households, right? Starting with our own children that we have now cultivated and are now curating to be positioned in this society once we leave this earth. It is our responsibility to raise these kids up to be the demonstration and the representation of where they came from and who they came from. So what would you say as a stepping stone would be a good way for us Black women and Black men, you know, regardless of the intensity of the relationship, whether that just be brother and sister, uncle, you know, auntie, whatever the distinguation is, what would you say could be a driving force between bringing us back to that dynamic? I know
I know. It's all right, but we're gonna take it step by step. And, please guide me along and correct me if I get a little start going down these rabbit holes. Because there's a bunch of rabbit holes
you can go
down.
I created it. My bad.
I mean, you know, it's your shovel, so we'll deal with it. But for me, again, and I'm just reiterating what you just said, not to be too personal. I grew up with both my parents. My father was a terrible alcoholic. So, you know, I dealt with issues from the remnants of that. As far as him being angry, as far as him, you know, being aggressive, he used to leave me and my sister in cars for hours while he used to go in bar and drink. Wow. I mean, this is right down the street from where we used to live. So, you know, to say he was there, yes, physically. Mm-hmm. To say he was there mentally and spiritually, no. So in saying that, it's almost a something that just spills out of the dysfunction of the Black family, just based on
the void.
Yeah, that void, just based on relationships.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Drugs and alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're conditioned to have dysfunction. If the mother is there or not, if the father is there or not, if the father is there. You know what I mean? Whatever way which way you want to, you know what I mean, switch it out.
Right.
But there's some dysfunction there as far as the relationship with the family as a whole. Because we're dealing with a lot. I'm talking about
generations.
Generational.
Yeah.
Black women, black men and black women.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not making no excuses. There's no excuses at all. The reason why we shouldn't have a healthy relationship based on what we've been through, the history that we know of, and how to move forward. But I'm just talking about where this stems from and how this spills over and how
Absolutely.
We have dysfunction
right.
in our families, right?
Right.
So when we go back in time, as we know that's a fact, we came to this country as slaves, our family were already torn apart.
Period.
Right?
Right.
Period. Like, that's just right off the rip. Like, not only did we not know our own language, not only were we in a foreign land, you know what I mean, we were torn away from our families, from our mothers, from our fathers, from our sisters, from our brothers, from our cousins.
Total beings.
We're a total being, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has been going on for generations, right? Mm-hmm. And you miss out on those things that really make us whole, right?
Absolutely.
Like, your daughter, right? You see her talk for the first time, see her walk for the first time. Those things were missed. You see what I'm saying? Back then, when we came over as slaves. So that's the foundation of building relationships. Like, you can't meet, I mean, you can build a relationship with someone that is older, but it's not the same when you see them grow from a baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's important in building a cohesive family. A family's gonna go through stuff regardless. I don't care how healthy, if they haven't been through nothing or if they have. Like,
absolutely,
you're gonna go through things regardless. But
that's
over
growth.
Time, right? That is growth. That is growth. But over time, when you're missing these key pieces, as far as the father, as far as the mother, as far as both parents, and you learn to figure that out on your own, it becomes more difficult for us to develop as a person to be able to share that love.
And it hit now, different.
Right. It hits totally different. It hits totally different. Like, you see things on TV, how things are perfect, but that's perfect world scenario. That's not real. But you see things how it should be, right? And you're like, damn, why can't my situation be like that?
Yeah.
But you have these demons, right, of family separation, of drugs and alcohol, that play a part in this dysfunction, this malfunction of family.
Yeah.
Over generations. So you have this issues with the Black family that, you know, up to this point, you don't know where it's coming from. You're just basically playing your part. You know what I mean? So you come out, you are a crack baby, right?
Exactly.
You grew up in an alcoholic family. So you have, you know what I mean, some developmental issues due to alcohol from your mother, you know, drinking or whatever might have, or drugs, stuff like that.
You so you're just playing that part. Exposed to.
Right.
You Absolutely. Become the surroundings. You become that environment. If you let
Absolutely.
It. If you let it.
If
However,
let it.
That is
if
the choice. It. And the choice is, what are you going to do to fight against that? And how are you going to break those chains? You know, a youth
That's
problem.
Why I say
you don't- yeah. A youth problem for us, I see now, is that too many people are not being able to distinguish what they see on screen as entertainment rather than being what it's supposed to be in reality. I think
right.
a lot of us now have been so desensitized and sensationalized with all of that that is now being so openly distributed and exposed through television, radio, any form of media. Even our kids, like, they're seeing this shit all the time. It's in their faces all the time. And it makes it that much harder for us to demagnify what they're using to magnify to aid in the dysfunction between a black man and a black woman in the family household, and how it's basically just sensationalized to attract public attention. The more attention it brings, the more that they can, I don't know, I want to say brainwash, which would pretty much be valid. But basically, yeah, brainwashing our kids. Because
now,
go ahead. Yeah.
It, you know, we know right from wrong as we get older, even
yeah.
though we've been through what we've been through.
Which
so
comes
it's almost
growth
like
and
okay,
experience.
Growth and experience. So you know that, like, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to smack a Ronnie. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to smack your daughter. You know what I mean? Like, you know you're not supposed to treat her in a way that's going to hurt her, right?
Right.
So that's just something that's just, you just know that, like, regardless of what you've been through, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
we, even my daughter, like, I know that I'm not supposed to leave my daughter in the car for hours just for me to go get a drink or whatever the case. We know that now.
Right.
You know what? It's remember back in the days where you could be able to, like, smoke in restaurants and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Smoke outside. Like, we don't do that anymore because we know now that it's harmful to our health, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
same thing with the family. Like, even though we might have been disturbed in some way and some kind of, or felt in, you know, in a way that's kind of like hindered us or hurt us, like, we know right from wrong now.
Yeah.
So the way to really get forward, move forward, is try to establish everything that's going to be positive and everything that's going to be right. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just because you don't have a mother, father, or both parents, or either or, you want to switch it up. Like,
mm-hmm.
we know what we need to do to instill in our kids to help them move forward. Right.
Next.
So the modern family is not just a mother and father. Sorry to mention that, but that's not like, you know what I mean? Because there's so many ways that the family can be arranged.
And there's so many different constructs that are now being perpetuated, you know.
Right. Right. So it's like we have to be able to teach our kids our history first,
mm-hmm.
so they understand the reason why we struggle with what we struggle, and be able to stop
the cycle,
not the negativity. Because I have no regrets. It made me to the person I am today,
right?
But not to put that on them. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not to put it on our kids.
Put that
to have
on
that
them.
On their back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
right.
Your own
you
falsified expectations and putting that on your children that they could never amount to. Just as
right.
your parents did you, or the lack
Absolutely.
Thereof.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You don't want that to spill over.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important that we try to stop the bleeding now.
I agree. I totally agree. Now, it isn't just the outsized headline-grabbing achievements that I feel should just be celebrated. And what I mean by that is, you know how, okay, let's take Black History Month, for example, right? Black History Month now really focuses more on Black activists and leaders and thinking about what is, you know, normal for people. Well, yeah. Where, what am I trying to say?
No, take your time.
What Black History stands for now has been commercialized. And it takes away from what it's really supposed to be. The celebration of Black life. The commencement and the recognition of Black achievements and Black awards of the Black activists and the Black leaders. But I think one of the things that, well, what I was trying to say was that we're moving far away from just thinking about the revolutionists and the activists of our time. But why not normalize what are now Black activists and leaders do for people on an everyday basis to fight institutionalized racism or to bring more awareness of our present oppression or the brutality and the violence, including this enormous attack on our health right now with this COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's so much stress going on with people of color. And when I say Black, I want people to understand this, because some people say, oh, I'm not Black, I'm Dominican. I'm not Black, I'm Mexican. I'm not Black, I'm Puerto Rican, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Black people, not even white people.
Yeah.
Everything comes from Black. So when I talk about Black people, I'm just talking about people of color, right? So we've been through so much, you know, up to this point, even with COVID. It's draining.
Yeah.
Cops killing, they've been killing us. I'm talking about, it's video now. Oh, we actually seen a man's spirit leave his body while a cop was on his neck. I want people to think about this. I want people to really, really, really take it. And I know people have seen it, and it's horrifying, and it's traumatized. We all been traumatized at the same time as that video was shown. But I want people to think about what happened. We seen a lynching, a modern day lynching happening in front of our eyes. We've seen a man's spirit leave his body. That's what we've seen.
Facts.
So we've always been up to here with it as far as police killing Black men or Black people or people of color that are unarmed. If you're armed, okay, that's whatever it is. It's whatever. You got to deal with the cars that dealt with you. But if you're unarmed and being killed, which has been going on for a long, long time, and now we've seen it live for everybody to see, right? Because back then, phones weren't readily available.
Right.
You know what I mean? You couldn't do a live Facebook or a live Instagram. But now you can. And we've seen that happen.
Right.
We've seen, everybody's seen that. There's no disputing that. Like, even though with the court and they fought it, whatever, he eventually got charged with all those. That's just one. That's one incident that happened that we've been traumatized with. Completely traumatized. I'm talking about everybody's been traumatized with. So you go to Fernando, you go to Sean Bell, you go to Emmett Till. Like, all these things have happened that we haven't got justice for. Right? So we've had it really up to here. Like, we're really, 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 really tired. And people of color are really, really want to see change happen. Absolutely. Right? So we have to attack this thing. Like, I mean, it's one thing to go to war hand to hand, which I don't condone, but we have to attack this thing systematically. Right? Which we've seen happen
from the inside out.
We've seen this happen, right? We've seen it happen with the with the presidential election, right? Yeah, some of our people of color couldn't get to the voting places, so they mailed in. Mm-hmm. And the massive waves, he ended up winning. Mm-hmm. It's the only reason why Biden won, because people of color actually voted for him.
Right.
But let's not forget that almost 65 million people voted for Trump. That means we have a problem, Houston. Mm-hmm. Right? That means we have a problem. That means that people really are feeling that the election was stolen from them. They really feel that they lost their country because, you know what I mean, they didn't vote for Trump. Or they feel that there's a browning in America that's happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are acting out now. And even to the Capitol riots, people are really, really feel that their country's being taken away from them, which it's not. But that's just the trauma that we've been through. Everyone has been through. On top of COVID, on top of being in the house for over 12 months, on top of wearing a mask, on top of seeing if this vaccine actually is going to work or not, mm-hmm. on top of seeing if the government is actually trying to kill us or not, or actually trying to help us, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of pressure. It gets to a boiling point to where it's just going to spill out. And regardless of negative or positive, that what spills out, like, we're going to have to deal with.
Indeed.
Asians been getting hurt for a year. They have seen attacks on the Asians, which is not right, right? The government came out with a bill and said, you know what? Executive order. No more attacking Asians, right? They came out with a bill saying no more attacking Asians. We're going to protect them, right? Why hasn't the government came out
with
protecting a bill? There you go. You know what I mean? From killing unarmed black men from police. Mm-hmm. All right. So you tell me, talk to me. Like, what's going on here? What are we seeing?
I don't know if I should say retrograde, but it's pretty much history repeating itself. We are gearing for war. There is a war against us as black people, like it always has. The only thing is, I feel like with Trump, once it was in office, he pretty much he hit the detonator. He set the timer. It's a time bomb.
Right.
I feel like, you know, you ever seen that movie Hocus Pocus? That used to be on Disney Channel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And when the witches went in there, when the witches went in there and they started putting all of these different potions in this big ass pot and then this melting pot, and then it starts to foam over, and then you get this cloud and this haze, and then once it starts to seep through the pores of the house and come through the bricks and the wood and the overall foundation of the house, it then starts to try to protect itself from any outside forces. And I feel like that's what we kind of need to get back to. We need to come back together and find that unity to unify us so that we can then hit them from the inside out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's important. And one key component to that is supporting black businesses, right?
Period.
Systematically, right?
Period.
Supporting black businesses, going out to actually vote. Like, this system, I wish we would have started this system as far as the government and, you know, voting, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But we have to go beat them at their own game, right?
Yeah,
we have to go out and vote, right?
From the inside
If you're not, if you're not really, you know, doing nothing for us or doing right by people, period,
We getting the hell out of Dodge. What you thought this was? I ain't no sitting duck. I'm not about to sit here and wait for you.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I even, as the Chauvin case was about to come to a head and they're about to announce the verdict, as a black man, I was anxious and I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I was anxious. It wasn't even somebody I knew, even though I felt when the feeling of somebody's life being taken unrightfully by someone else, I still felt pressure on my chest. I felt anxiety. Right. I think all people of color have felt that as this verdict came out. But I felt that. I can only speak for myself. I felt that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when the verdict came out, It was a brief sigh of relief. Mm-hmm. But it was brief, like I said. So it was, you know, it's so much more work to do. But then I thought about just, you know, this country was built on racism. The country was built on segregation. Right?
It was built on the backs of us as black people. That's why they don't want us to win. That's why we cannot get any further than where we are. They're keeping us at bay because they know if the black people get a chance at the empire, we building anew. That black Mecca, that African Mecca is coming through.
Right.
Them black schools is coming
back. They don't want that.
Because they know what it's going to cost them, which is everything. Right. Just exactly of what you cost us. Everything. It's not going to be one thing. We bringing everything, the whole fucking militia. And we ain't leaving nothing and nobody behind. We is not dumping out the arsenal, okay? Everything's coming not out, period.
We're leaving everything on the line. And, you know, I think that I actually flirted with the thought of just like segregation, how it would benefit black people, to be honest.
Mm.
Right? Because I'm always for equality. I'm always for, you know, I'm going there. Cause I'm always for equality. I'm always for including people. I'm always for everybody to get the same slice of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always for that. Trust me. Like there's no if, ands, or but about that. But it actually crossed my mind that what would segregation do? Like, you know, with segregation, would it actually, like, if we were
like now, separated
today, uh-huh. would it actually help us gain some traction? Like, would it help us be able to focus on our own community?
I mean, to know that we didn't have outsiders, we didn't have, like, white people and Mexicans and stuff together where it was just us?
Where it was just us, to where it was just, I mean, I'm including Mexicans. I'm including everybody of color because, I mean, some people say, oh, they're not messing with me because they're Mexican. Trust me, they're looking at you as a nigger too. So what I'm saying is that, like, they, you know, if we were like had our own, like, would we be better off? And then I thought about like, nah, we'd probably be an issue because they wouldn't stop terrorizing us like they did in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? They wouldn't stop leaving us alone and being able to, you know what I mean, to poke the bubble as far as trying to build our economics.
Yeah.
But I actually thought about that because it's like, you know, like, man, like, all right, give us our shit, huh? Here's our shit right here. This one, that one, and leave us alone. Right? You don't want us to be a part of this democracy. You don't want us to be a part of whatever you think that you're in control of. We're going to have our own. You leave us alone. Cut it down the line. That's what it is. But will they really leave us alone? Like, they'll continue to tear. That's why I actually thought about that segregation. Like, would it really benefit us?
It makes plenty sense.
Like, would it really benefit us for us to just be separate? Like, again, let me say it again. Because I don't want nobody to be confused.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always for equality. I want people to always live together in some type of positive harmony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if we can't get along, then we need to be able to focus on ourselves until we be able to be loved the way we're supposed to.
See, because I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that notion at all. But the problem that we have today and that we face with us as a people, as black people, is that we, it's really hard for me not to generalize this, but shit, if we being honest, with black people, everybody wants to be the reason why somebody got put on. Nobody wants to be, you know, everybody wants to be the chief, and then there's not enough Indians. Somebody has to play a certain position. Somebody has to man a certain, you know, position in order to, you know, to get all of the functions working properly and for us to be able to work together. But see, everybody is in this selfish state of mind, which has been conditioned. It has been conditioned. It's conditioned upon the environment in which we were raised, the people in which we were exposed to or who had a hand in our upbringing and raising, as well as like our own development mentally, you know, through our own growth and personal experiences, because we've been through so fucking much. The trauma is traumatizing so much that even if we were to think about just being divided socially to be able to build something for the Black people, we wouldn't be able to do it because the demise is in the mind. You have to be able to get past yourself and be able to work with others. We don't know how to work with each other. You know, see, on you Facebook, see, no, but wait, Bill.
Okay, I'm listening. Because you remember,
I don't know
if you've seen. You know what, I'm writing this down. Just teach it right now. I'm writing this down. Just put my name and date on this paper.
So I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this this picture that I have found on Facebook, and I shared it like years ago, and it's basically depicting a staircase, and on this staircase you have there's three different sides. So on this staircase, I'll just do with the two. So on this staircase, there's Black people all up the stairs, and everybody's moving upward, right? So we're going up the stairs, right, to like the Havana. And then on the other side, we have white people also going up the stairs. But in these two different depictions, we have the white people using each other as a stepping stone. And somebody starts to fall off, two or three people lean over and they grab that person up, and then they push them forward to propel them up higher, because the first person that gets there can get the next person and the next person, almost like a monkey chain. You know what I mean? Remember that, like on Toy Story and shit, when the monkeys like latch on to each other and it's one and one and one. See, now the problem with, exactly. So now what the problem with Black people is, if you see a motherfucker falling off, they gonna kick him. They not reaching their hand. They not gonna put themselves in harm's way, or they're not gonna sacrifice themselves or compromise their level or their position. Their position on the step, on the steps, or on the ladder, they're not going to compromise that just to bend down there and reach for one person when everybody else trying to get to the top too. Nah, that motherfucker is a weakness. He got to go. So we're going to kick his ass down. It's already too late for you, in the words of Kevin Hart. It's too late for you. I'm gone. And now whoever else is in my way, they getting the fuck out too, because I'm reaching for the top. It's not we getting to the top. It's me. It's just solo, right? But that's the problem. That's the problem. In order to be able to bring forth,
got a problem, exactly, Houston.
That's what I'm saying.
we got a problem, Houston. And it's not like it's the like, nobody wins with a family feud, right?
No.
And we all, the people, like, we can't, like, it's an inner war going on inside based
exactly
on what we've been through and based on everybody trying to make it to the top.
That's
and
exactly I why I said it starts from within. You got to build from the inside out, because once you start and you get your foundation, whether that be spiritually, whether that be, you know, reclamation of self, it starts with you. You have to be that moving force. You have to be that driver. You have to be that nucleus that's constantly pulling people in. Like, hey, if you come over here and you do this while I do this, and then you come over here and you do this, let me steer, you guys navigate, be my eyes on my peripherals and my blinders and my blind spots. Y'all take care of that. We're going to get some other people to take care of the back. That way, if we were to ever get guarded or circled or closed in and we can't move, we still have moving vices where we can bust through some shit together, because if I do it by myself, we're not gonna make it.
That see, type people of don't realize, people don't realize the most successful people, they are successful because they help somebody else.
Because they help somebody else, and because somebody else helped them.
Right. They didn't do it by themselves. It's not something that just happened to where it's like, I got this bright idea, here it is, I'm going over the top. Now, somebody gave them the opportunity to put it on a platform or to reach the masses to be able to be successful.
Facts.
Like, and we have to get out this mindset of it always has to be me. It always has to be Bell. Mm-hmm. It always has to be M. Blaze. Like, it doesn't have to be. It has to be. It could be somebody else. As long as you bring us on our way and you kick down the door for us to flood it.
Yes. That's, you know what the I mean? Point. Like,
everybody wants to kick down the door. Like, you can't be the old. There's only one person kick down the door. You can't kick down the door twice. Mm-hmm. Like, the same door. No. Like, only one person kick down that door and we flood it. And we have to get out that mentality of that we always got to make that last game winning shot. But because it's not, no one can make, only one person can make the game winning shot. Everybody else can celebrate with you. Does that make sense?
Because it takes a
team. You know what I mean? Like, as a team.
As a team.
As a team.
Yes.
And we have to get out that mentality. It's very important, man. You know,
that's right, you pivotal. Know, that's imperative for our growth as a people.
Yeah.
We have to. Otherwise, we're going to meet our demise. And it's going to be by our own hand. Nobody else's but us.
And you can't blame the white man, the clear man, whatever. It's all, because like I said, we're older now. We know right from wrong, regardless of what we've been through, even though it still affects us. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't blame nobody else.
Right.
We have to blame us.
Right.
We have to blame us.
Because, I mean, it comes to a point in time where how long is too long where you continue to blame the system that was never created for the equality of us, the system that never cared for us, the system that was not created with us in mind? How long is too long?
Well, before I move forward, No BS Podcast, make sure I listen and pay attention.
Period.
No underscore BS7 on Instagram, No underscore BS7 on Twitter. Unexpected Theory Podcast.
Now make sure y'all listen and pay attention.
That's right. Y'all get it right. And understand what we're talking about here. So back to live action. We got to beat them at their own game. It's as simple as that. You have these politicians out there that just want to make money. I mean, politics is politics. Ain't nobody telling the truth. Let's be honest. Everybody say they're going to save the world when they get in office. They don't say not damn near nada.
Because they can't handle the truth.
They can't handle the truth. And you know what almost happened? What almost happened is you almost had an explosion, an implosion from inside, from people who wanted Trump to win. So you have these politicians that let the doors open for people to come in for the insurrection. Mm-hmm. People on the inside, politicians that, or powers that be, that called off the police when the insurrection was happening. That's why you had delays in response. Mm-hmm. Like, you almost had an implosion of the government that was about to be completely taken over by that people that were just radical or whatever view they thought they had.
Right.
So that almost happened. Since 1860, I want to say. That almost happened. So it's just like, you know, if we are going to live in this country, regardless of what color you are, regardless of how you feel, like, we have to live in some type of unity. If not, then I think segregation might be the way to go. I'm going to be honest.
I can see that. But I can't see that.
Again, right. But then again, like what you said, if we go towards a segregation issue, it's like we have our own conflicting battles from within inside that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to solve the issue per se, because we have to get our own shit together.
Right, exactly. So while you say that, let me ask you this. You personally, as a black man, what route or what steps and what programming have you created for yourself to start your internal healing?
A lot of praying, to be honest. And it's not even some type of formal on your knee praying, but just thanking God, just requesting things from Him, being able to request some type of stability and be able to deal with the outside world. That's number one for me. I'm gonna be honest, for me. Because I've been through a dark time to where I didn't think anything was possible. So definitely just prayer, just to help me get through the day on a daily basis. And You know what helps me? Just seeing other people win. It doesn't have to be me. I love to win, trust me. I love it to be me. But just to see other people win, be able to progress, that definitely nourishes my being, just to see that it's possible.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. My daughter, my nieces, my kids, my family, even you, like, I love you to death. Just to see y'all alive and well, and just thinking. I don't care what you think about, just thinking. And be able to move forward regardless of the obstacles that, you know what I mean, I have in front of you, the obstacles that I have in front of me. Just being able to push forward and, you know what I mean, just seeing y'all be able to smile in the midst of such a stressful time, what's been going on in 2020, 2021. So that's been really been pushing me through. What about you?
So, I mean, I've been doing a lot of hard work on myself, and God, I'm reaping the benefits. A lot of change has happened to me and for me, and I'm still processing, right? And it's gonna always and forever be a process. And but I'm learning that what I've been working on has been in two different categories within myself: growth and growth and healing. Growth and healing. Those are the two different like categories of departments within myself that I've now been able to recognize and acknowge as their own entities, right? And I know for me, having my daughter and my kids, I can only be and bring out the best me possible if I'm able to center myself and deal with myself first. I've found that it was harder for me to try to parent as best as I could without facing all of the different intricacies of my own inner child, and how that my inner child has not been able to heal or grieve properly, or even had, you know, the voice necessary to even start a process of acknowledgement and recognizing that, yes, these things happened, but now I'm going to allow my girl to cry. I'm going to allow my girl to scream. I'm going to give my girl a voice so that moving forward, if I'm able to recognize certain things, I can give a voice to my daughter. I can make sure that my kids' voices are heard and that they're confident in what they stand in and what they stand by without any compromise to their integrity or to their mental well-being. That is my premise. That has been my objective. And I know for me, that's one thing that I hold strong. That's one thing that I hold dear to, because it helps center me. I feel like I'm closer to my mother than ever before, and I don't even remember who she is. But I'm constantly reminded by the people around me who knew my mother and who knew me from a baby. So it reaffirms me, and it confirms that I am now on the right track, and I'm in the right space that I should be in right now, where I can occupy it securely and confidently while being unapologetically myself. And since I'm dealing with myself, I can be that person to start bringing other people in, because I'm setting a foundation for myself. I'm tiering my standards, and I'm unwavering from any of it. My integrity is still intact. I will not compromise myself or my family or my well-being. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
So all of those things are really imperative for me. And that's how I'm moving through. That's how I've been moving through this pandemic. That's how I've been getting through this pandemic. It has not been easy, but thank God I've still been able to work through it. My kids haven't been subjected to it. My family, most of my family who have been encountered or who has contracted and been close to contracting COVID they're still here. They're still living and breathing and doing well. And that right there is a blessing in itself. And to my family on the East Coast, B-Bell, my Auntie Rita, and everybody else out there, man, I love y'all. And I'm so happy, so immensely happy that we were still able to come together even through this pandemic, and that you guys are out there safe as well, because I know it's been a struggle.
Absolutely. And let people, all my listeners, man, Unexpected Theory podcast, No BS podcast, make sure y'all pay attention. Make sure y'all listen. You know what I mean? From New York to Cali, this is not, she's not down the street. She's not on the corner. You know what I mean? Like, she's in Cali right now. I'm in New York right now.
Bay Area.
And we're making this happen. The Bay Area's in the building. I'm saying upstate New York's in the building.
Absolutely.
So we talking, we made this happen. You know what I mean? And that's what I want to see from everyone in communities, period, just to start making things happen. I don't care who you are, where you at. Like, there's too much technology to say, nah, I can't do it. Now I'm chilling. Now I'm doing this, that, and the third. Like, make that shit happen, B.
Make it happen.
Because if you don't make it happen, ain't nobody else going to make it happen for you. You know what I mean? Unexpected Theory podcast.
Period. And so as we go ahead and close out the show, don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple and Google Podcasts, and of course on tutradio.com. Go ahead and follow me and stay in contact and in the know. Share, like, comment, and again, stay connected. One Unexpected Theory at 1M_Blaze, and come back Saturday.
That's right.
Every other Saturday at 9 p.m. on TUT Radio is where you can find the Unexpected Theory, where you can expect the unexpected. Be Bell.
That's right.
No Bullshit Podcast.
That's right. Support my cousin. Straight up and down, I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm not lying. I'm just kidding. I love y'all. I'm just kidding. I love y'all. You know what I mean? No BS Podcast, episode 28. Make sure you follow me. No_BS7 on Instagram. No_BS7 on Twitter.
Absolutely. You already know. Indeed.
Put a mask on, brush your teeth, wash your hands.
It's your girl Lynn Blaze, and we out.
Peace.
Hey, come back.
Yeah.